since this year was higher than previous years, and someone said that 400 people registered to meet my new wife. Thanks a lot, I really feel. So Tom Taylor, we didn't have much to do with the attendance here this year. Diane, you stole the show. Now I have a commercial to do. John Taylor has some books, and he has to take them home with him. And he said, tell the folks, he personally will be at the table, and it's going to be bargain night. Get some free books tonight, and there's a couple of sets left of the hardback commentaries. We Live Forever. This little book has a study of the crowns, and what is the biblical basis for babies going to heaven? About 6 or 7 copies of that sense, and nonsense about prayer. Sometimes, just turn on your cassette player at prayer time, and then listen to some of the things you said to God. It may surprise you. Did I say that to God? Put your prayers on sometimes. Sense and nonsense about prayer in God's waiting room. Some of you are going through some difficult times, difficult to stand by and watch a loved one suffer when you love that loved one more than you love your own life. It's tough. Sometimes God puts us in the waiting room, and just wonderful to see how he works in God's waiting room. A chapter in the Old Testament, one chapter, has a complete prophetic panorama of God's plan for the future, beginning with the death of Christ. One chapter in the Old Testament. In the 7 last words of Christ from the cross, listen, our dying Savior speaks. Now, some of you will be sorry you didn't get some of these books. I'll tell you why. Before you come back to this conference again, Christmas will be here and gone. And you say, why didn't I get those for Christmas gift? Before you come back, some birthday anniversaries, some wedding anniversaries, some graduations will come and go, and you'll run around like a chicken with its head cut off. What can I buy? And would you believe it? Before you come back for another conference, there's going to be a Mother's Day and a Father's Day. Do your shopping early, and you save money and be glad that you did. Open your Bible now to the Epistle to the Hebrews. The Epistle to the Hebrews. I'm going to begin at chapter 4 tonight. I want to express my thanks and appreciation for the invitation to be here. I don't go to speak any place where I'm not invited. And I'm very thankful for the invitation. I would be remiss if I did not say thank you. It's been good to meet friends of former years and to get acquainted with some folks I've never met before. And then to be here with our dear brother Tom Taylor. I've been with many men on the conference platform. If God spares me, 2 more years. Until 1996, I will be celebrating my 60th anniversary in full-time Christian work. I have not been with any man on the conference platform where I have been blessed more with the consistency of his life and his Bible teaching ministry. It's always a blessing to be with Tom Taylor and his wife. Get acquainted with Tom's wife. You think he's a character? He's got a wonderful wife. Now let us pray. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of these days together. We thank you and praise thee for the leadership, for our dear friend Dick Andrews and his team, who prepare so carefully and conscientiously, and everything in readiness, and are always prepared to meet the emergencies that arise. We thank you for the kind of leadership that helps to make a conference like this possible. And thank you for all the team who have cooperated with him. And Lord, we thank you for the ministry of music, for the choir each night, for the songs that they sang about our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all who had a part to make this a wonderful week. And now we turn to the final message of this conference and pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And for this we shall thank thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. He said, Lord, how should I conclude my part in the ministry of the word for this conference? Heard someone say tonight is Lehman Strauss's last message. I didn't know how to take that. Whether they thought my demise was at hand, I'm ready to depart, or whether they thought I didn't cut the mustard and nobody wants to hear me again, I didn't know how to take it, but I hope this is not my last message. A lady came up with a book and said, will you sign this, please? Is this your last book? I said, I hope not. I hope not. I hope we'll all be together for a fellowship in the days that lie ahead. Now, tonight in conclusion, I'm going to lead you in a simple Bible reading. We're going to look at the 13 verses in the Epistle to the Hebrews containing the little phrase of two letters, let us. And I think the Lord has laid this on my heart for a concluding message this evening. Turn to chapter 4 and verse 1. Let us, therefore, fear, not be afraid, but let us have this reverential trust and faith and confidence in God, a promise being left us of entering to his rest, any of you who should seem to come short of it. Many Christians do not enjoy the rest in this new creation in Christ. Why? Some have drifted, some have disobeyed, some have been deceived, some have doubted. Don't doubt. Fear, have reverential trust in God, and you'll have rest like you've never enjoyed it before. The next appearance of the little phrase, let us, is in verse 11. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Better translated, disobedience. Dear friends, this is a final word for this conference. Don't disobey. Don't disobey. You want to be happy? Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Don't doubt. That verse ends in unbelief. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, not merely a high priest, the great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, our confession. Hold fast to your confession, your profession. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Let us hold fast. Well, we have a great high priest in the heavens. Verse 16, another let us. Let us therefore come boldly, frankly. Come, tell Father all about it. unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes we feel like we're lost for mercy and lost for grace. Come. Come boldly. Just open up. Tell Father all about it. He's there waiting. His Son is at His right hand. Come. Frankly. Just speak openly. Tell Him all about it. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, the best place to start is at the throne of grace. What do I do in my waking moments in the morning? Well, I got to send the dog out for the morning paper. I got to get the news first. Or I can't get around till I get that first cup of coffee. Well, the morning paper may not do you any harm. The coffee might not do you any harm. But the best place to come in your waking moments, you don't even have to get out of bed, is to the throne of grace. And God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, are waiting for you and me to come. All the consequences of following this simple exhortation. In heaven there is the great high priest. My first ministry was in the little town of Bristol, Pennsylvania, where I pastored for 18 years. In that town was an automobile dealer, a Roman Catholic man, who sold Chrysler products. Back in those days, Dodge, DeSoto, Plymouth, and Chrysler. And during World War II, automobiles were very scarce. And the dealers were getting a small quota because the automobile manufacturers were producing war material, Jeeps, and many other items that were important in World War II. And one day, the owner of this automobile company in Bristol called me on the telephone, very strict Roman Catholic. He always dubbed me Reverend, a title that I never liked. I could never find anything in the Bible to support it, and I couldn't change his mind, but he called me Reverend. He said, Reverend, I got my quota of automobiles for the month. 3 Plymouth cars. I just sold one to my priest, and I would like to sell one to a certain minister that I like. And I appreciated that. No under the table money. He said, I need your car. It's in good condition. I can get a good price for it. He said, you'll have to come over soon. I have an appointment with my priest. I have to go to confession. So I went over. By the way, he sold Chrysler products. His name was Ford. Percy Ford was the owner of that agency. And I went over and he showed me the Plymouth car, told me the price, showed me the sticker, his bill on it, and told me how much my car was worth. And he said, we're going to have to get this transaction through. He looked at his watch. He said, I have a date with my priest. And I said, yes, you told me that on the phone. And I said, why do you go to confession, Mr. Ford? So he said, to confess my sins to the priest. I said, to whom does your priest confess his sins? I guess to the bishop. And I said, to whom does the bishop confess his sins? I guess to the cardinal. And to whom does the cardinal confess his sins? Well, he said, I guess to the pope. Who else? And I said, to whom does the pope confess his sins? He hesitated, he said, to God, I guess. And I said, Mr. Ford, you can go directly into the presence of God. There's a man in heaven who is the great high priest who never sinned. And you can go directly to him. And you'll never need to go to a man who himself is a sinner. We got to talking about the subject. He looked at his watch. He called his secretary. He said, call the father and cancel the confession for day. I'll get him back on another occasion. He never went back to the earthly priest from that day on. He discovered a great high priest. And he's there for the believer. Don't fail to get to the throne. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. And we need mercy. Mercy is God withholding from us what we deserve. And there we can get grace, and grace is God bestowing upon us what we don't deserve. Mercy withholds what we do deserve. Grace bestows what we don't deserve. Both of them are there, waiting. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Turn on to chapter 6 for the next let us text. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto, not sinless perfection, maturity. Now, there was immaturity in those believers in the early church, among those Hebrew Christians and Gentile Christians as well. And there were problems, there were perils that confronted them. There was the peril of drifting, of doubting, of distrust, of deception. They were just being torn apart. They couldn't grow. And the reason for that is in chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, they neglected the word. They were not in, they didn't have all that we have. Aren't we ashamed sometimes when we think of how wonderfully God has provided His Word for us? I stood beside the first printing press that ever printed a copy of the Holy Scriptures. I'm not overly emotional. I don't think I am. Maybe sometimes I am. But I stood there and wept as my heart rejoiced for the invention of the printing press that made possible the Bible you brought into this meeting tonight. Have you ever thanked God for the invention of the printing press? I know a lot of garbage comes out over the presses, but thank God for the Holy Scriptures, this Bible. Don't neglect it. There's no spiritual growth apart from the Word of God. Now, they neglected the Word of God. They remained babes, mere babblers. They never matured. It's a terrible affliction. May I digress from the let us text for just a moment to ask you to turn to Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians and find 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when you found 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to read beginning with verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of the God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, the natural man is the unsaved man. He's never been born again. Doesn't know anything about... Don't argue about the Bible. Don't argue with an unsaved person. The unsaved person doesn't know anything about the Bible. And anything that he has heard and thinks he knows, he doesn't understand. The Scripture says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't know them. He can't understand them. He's spiritually dead. This book is a living book. This is not a dead letter. Spiritually dead people cannot understand the contents of this book. The natural man. Then in verse 15, he speaks of the spiritual man. The spiritual man is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we have the life of the Spirit and we have the leading of the Spirit. Spiritual people are people controlled, Christians controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now there are two men in the beginning of chapter 3. There's a third man. And I, brethren, he's writing to Christians, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Ah, those were the believers in Hebrews 5. They were saved. They were babes, but they were mere babblers. Just like little babies, they could only babble. Well, that was their problem. They neglected the word. Now, Paul said, I can't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They were saved, they were babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for you are yet carnal, fleshly, selfish, self-centered, self-contained, self-satisfied. And how do we know? Well, there's envying and strife and divisions among you. Carnality. Now, Hebrews chapter 6. Let us go on. Let us not remain spiritually immature. Let us grow up. Let us not remain victims of arrested development. Let us not remain mere babies. Babies are very demanding. A scream and cry. Little infants till they get what they want. Our first son was premature. He came 2 years after we were married and was a problem baby. Cried. Always at night. I wanted to be helpful to my wife and I would get up and carry the baby and coo the baby and sing to the baby and pat the baby. Till I thought he was asleep, tiptoe to his crib, put him in, tuck him in, tiptoe back to my bed, put my head on my pillow, and whang, all over again. Cry. I called the doctor a number of times. He said, please, don't call me every time the baby cries. There's nothing really wrong with the baby. He'll catch up with himself. He's a preemie. Give him time. Now, I come in one day and my wife said, I found out what's wrong with the baby. I said, what's wrong with the baby? So I was talking to your mother on the telephone. Oh, my mother knew, solve all the baby problems. She said, I think she solved this one for me. What's the trouble? She said, your mother said not to be concerned. You bawled the whole first year of your life. And she said to my wife, your son is a chip off the old block. Now, Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. The marks of carnality wane as we grow spiritually. Let us. Chapter 6, verse 1. He's speaking to believers, and the writer includes himself. Let us go on. We spend some times here at the conference and enjoying fellowship with one another, times of prayer, times in the Word of God. You've heard it. Let's heed it. Let's handle it with care. Let us herald it. With courage. There's a world out there waiting. Let us go on. Let us go on. May God grant that we all shall leave this conference a little taller spiritually than when we came. Let us go on. Let us turn over to chapter 10 of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that is a recently slain way. That's my private translation. It never grows old. A recently slain way. The blood of Christ never grows old. I love to hear it sung. I love to sing songs about the blood. I like to study and memorize verses about the blood. The precious blood, the pure blood, the powerful blood of Jesus. We enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. It's always fresh, the way into the presence of God, which he had consecrated or newly made through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart. And notice connected with that verse, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil, what? Conscience. Not merely saved from the penalty of our sins, but the blood of Christ has cleansed the conscience when we come into the holiest of all. We must come with a pure conscience and a true heart. Not just pretending. Not just pretending. Not being present. Whether it's present for the breaking of the bread or the preaching service. But we come with a true heart. Some years ago, I was invited to preach in a large Baptist church in Newark, New Jersey. And that Sunday, it was a summertime, and I was pastor in Pennsylvania and would take some of my Sunday vacations to preach. I don't know why we preachers do that, but we do. And went up to preach to Newark, New Jersey, and in the church bulletin said we had 592 worshipers in our church last Sunday. And I said to the brother presiding, the pastor was away on vacation, I said, how many people were in attendance the last Sunday? Oh, he said, it's right there in the bulletin, 592. No, I said, doesn't say that. Doesn't say how many were in attendance. He said, how many worshipers? Well, he said, everybody came to worship. Now, I'm not judgmental, please believe me. I'm not God. But I wonder if 592 people present were 592 worshipers. One of the seven significant musts in the gospel according to John is found in John chapter 4, where the Lord said to the woman at the well, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Many could have been present in that service who never worshiped God that morning. I said they could have been. I don't know. It's not impossible, dear friends, that someone could be here tonight. You're here in person. You seem to be enjoying all that's going on. But is the heart right? Notice what the text says. Let us draw near with a true heart. And God knows the heart. Is it cleansed? Are my confessions up to date? If not, I have not worshipped. The first time the word worship appears in the Bible is in Genesis 22, where Abraham offered his son Isaac in response and obedience to the command of God. Can't find the word worship before then. Abraham worshiped God. Total commitment without any mental reservation whatever. Took his teenage son, took him to the mountain, strapped him to the altar, and raised the knife to plunge into his bosom, and would have done it. But God sent an angel to stop him. And God was satisfied. He didn't want Isaac dead. God does not approve of human sacrifice. He wanted Abraham's heart in total faith and total commitment without any mental reservation. That is worship. the first time the word appears in the Bible. Let us draw near with a true heart, knowing that our confessions are up to date and the conscience is clear before God. The next "let us" is in the same chapter and in the next verse. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now here's a call to faithfulness in our testimony. There is a parenthetical statement in that verse, and don't rub out the parenthetical statements. The late Dr. Wilbur Smith was telling me one day that while in England, he visited a church to hear a preacher he had heard about but had never heard and wanted to hear him preach. And he got in early, and a man was teaching an adult Bible class. And as he was teaching the Bible class, Dr. Smith took a seat in the back and listened. He said, the teacher said, now, whenever you come to a statement in the Bible that's in parentheses, he said, just take it out. He said, that doesn't belong there. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not so. Parenthetical statements were not inserted by the translators. It's a part of the Holy Scripture. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. 1 Corinthians 1:9, faithful is he that has called you. The faithful God has called us. We can trust him. That's the meaning of the word faithful. Trustworthy, dependable, reliable. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. And now the writer to the Hebrews said, he's faithful, you be faithful. Don't let down the faithful God. You be faithful. He's faithful, you be faithful. Verse 23, the next one is in verse 24. Now these "let us" verses are in some classification. Several deal with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of the texts deal with the sanctification of saints, the behavior of saints. And we have one right here. Verse 24, and we have one in 23. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another. All the peril of discouragement. God's people need encouragement. I've been through some times when I've needed encouragement. Some of you have been there, and some of you are there now. And I can tell you of some who are there now. The loved ones of the dear one who had the head-on collision today. Discouragement, we all have our times of discouragement. Now the text says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let's be more concerned about others. The peril of discouragement, it could come upon any one of us. And beloved brothers and sisters, we need each other. We need each other to handle the peril of discouragement. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. This is not an appeal to be faithful to a local church. It's the assembling of God's people together to pray with one another, to share with one another, to rejoice with one another, to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. Christians, we need each other. What does the world care about our discouragements? Our problems, our trials, our heartaches, our heartbreaks? There's one in heaven who cares. He says, now you care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now you care for one another. Let us. Let us. Verse 24. The next one is in chapter 12. Turn, please, to chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, having time to go into any exposition of these texts, I'm simply leading you through the 13 let us verses, and I want you to see they contain something to sort of bring to a climax what we've been hearing this week in our morning and evening Bible messages. 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we believers also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. Has God during these days at Skyland brought to your attention some sin in your life? Oh, it may not be gross immorality. Maybe you haven't stolen anybody's money. But has God said something to you? Let us do something about it. Do I want to go home a better person than when I came? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And then when you get rid of the weight, when you get rid of that sin, then we can answer the next let us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I don't know of anything will hinder our progress in service like unconfessed sin in the life of any one of us. Oh, let us lay aside every weight and sin, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the founder and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Concentrate on him. Meditate on him. Commune with him. Exalt him. Glorify him. Let us go on looking unto Jesus. Then we want to move over to chapter 13. Chapter 13. And when you find chapter 13, I'm going to ask you to look at verse 13. Now we're on our way back to our various homes, places of business, home where we're retiring. We're on our way back now. Verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. That's called service. Let us go without the camp. We've been camped here all week. Bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now watch. As we go, bearing his name, the final let us for this evening is in verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could all leave this place praising him? That's your last let us in Hebrews. The sacrifice of praise. There's the sacrifice of our person, too, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. He wants the sacrifice of my praise, The mere singing with my voice may not be enough. And the mere lifting of my hands in praise may not be enough. The sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of my person, I must present my bodies. I think it includes the sacrifice of my possessions. Philippians chapter 4. Paul wrote to the Philippians that you were so helpful, so gracious, so kind, and you made a sacrifice to support the continuing of God's work. A sacrifice of our possessions. Let us go forth to serve and to praise Him who has made possible a week like this. Verse 16, do good and communicate fellowship, share, and forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In the light of those 13 let us texts, let us go forward. Loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word, holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure. Thou art mine. Oh Lord, we know it is possible for each one of us to leave these grounds praising Thee, worshiping Thee in truth and in sincerity. Blessed Holy Spirit, continue to search us out. And for any neglect in my own heart, begin with me. And when I sincerely pray for myself, I pray for these, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank Thee for Skyland Conference. If it please Thee, Father, grant that it shall continue as a testimony until our Lord Jesus Christ returns. We ask this in His worthy name with thanksgiving. Amen.